It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. Freedom is one of the most cherished values in the world, but people often misunderstand what true freedom really means. Here in Galatians chapter 5, as we're in this verse-by-verse study with Paul, Paul teaches us here that freedom in Christ is not a license to do whatever we want. It's not an excuse for sloppy living, but it's the ability to live as God designed us to live, free from sin and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in this chapter, chapter 5, the Apostle Paul exhorts the Galatians to stand firm in their freedom, reject the works of the flesh, and walk by the Spirit. Now let's pick up today with the first verse of Galatians chapter 5. Paul says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Paul is telling us here that Christ has liberated us from the burden and the weight of the law and the bondage of sin. Yet the Galatians were in danger of falling back into legalism, especially circumcision, as false teachers had crept in, trying to put all these Gentiles under the Jewish law as a way of gaining righteousness. And Paul's warning them. He said, "Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." My friend, true freedom is found in grace and not in works. We're justified by faith in Christ alone, not by observing religious rituals or rules. Paul's going to expound on this. He says, "Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all." Now, if someone just picks this up and reads it, you might say, "Wow, almost every male baby in America today is circumcised. So are we all going to hell?" No, that's not what Paul's talking about. Circumcision was a sign of the Jewish covenant, and it was required of them by law. And Paul was telling these Gentile believers, if you allow these people to force you to do this in order to be righteous with God, you are missing the mark, and Christ will be of no value to you at all. He says, "Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law." See, he was telling them, you can't just pick and choose which laws you want to keep and which ones you don't. If you keep the entire law and you break just one law, according to the word, you're guilty of breaking the entire law. It falls like dominoes. See, that was the real curse of the law, was that you couldn't keep it. You broke just one law, you were guilty of breaking the entire law. So Paul's telling these people, you're letting these people put you under bondage, these Judaizers who are coming in and teaching false doctrine and trying to bring you under the law. He's saying, stop it. In verse 4, Paul said, "You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." What does he mean when he says they've been alienated from Christ? You see, we relate to God through Jesus Christ and what he did upon the cross. So to depend upon our works and to depend upon the law, that alienates us from Christ. He goes on and says, "You have fallen away from grace." Now, most people use this verse to say that people are losing their salvation. I don't think that's what Paul is saying at all. But he's saying if you're relating to God by performance, you're not relating to God through grace. And you're missing the whole point of it. Christ died so that you didn't have to try to relate to God through your performance. The real weapon the devil has against us as Christians is condemnation. Whenever we fail or make a mistake, what does he do? He accuses us and tells us we've lost our salvation and God could never use somebody like us. We just recently taught the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. And don't you know, Peter must have felt like such a failure after he denied Jesus. But I'm so thankful that our Lord showed him grace. And Peter got to get out from under the law and come into this new covenant of grace. In verse 5, Paul says, "But by faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus," this is a great verse, listen, "neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Paul continues this thought in verse 7, and he says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough, and I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be." It sounds like Paul is not even really sure who these people are that have come into the Galatian church and is throwing everybody into confusion, trying to put them under the law. But he's saying God knows, and he'll take care of them. See, we're talking about freedom, the freedom we have in Christ, and how God wants you and I to use that freedom to glorify him, not to just indulge our sinful nature. Imagine a child flying a kite on a real breezy day, and the kite is soaring high up in the sky, its tail is fluttering, it's joyful in the wind, but then all of a sudden the kite begins to tug against the string. And if the kite had a voice, it might say, "This string is holding me back. If I could just break free, I could fly higher and farther." Now imagine what would happen if the string actually snapped. For a brief moment, that kite may feel free, but without the tension of the string guiding and anchoring it, the kite would quickly spiral out of control and crash to the ground. You see, that kite's freedom doesn't come from breaking free of the string. Its freedom comes from staying connected to the string, which allows it to rise and soar, and it's guided by the hand of the one flying it. That's the way it is with God. The string is His Holy Spirit that's guiding us and leading us to soar higher and higher for God. Paul said in verse 11, "Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." I have to say, this is one of the funny verses in the Bible. Paul gives a vivid picture here of what he wished would happen to those people. Verse 13, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." That's my story about the kite. You see that we're not just to try to snap free and do anything we want to do. No, we serve the Lord and serve one another in love. Paul said in verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Friend, freedom in Christ is not about selfishness. It's about selflessness. Paul's warning them about biting and devouring one another, and he gives a reminder here that unchecked sin can destroy relationships. Make sure we're using our freedom in Christ to love and serve others and not just to indulge in our selfish desires. We examine our hearts because small compromises can lead to bigger issues in our life. Now Paul's going to change the tone of the subject here. He's going to talk about being led by the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Let's pick up with verse 16. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." It's so important that we understand in the book of Genesis, it teaches us that we were made in the image of God. God is a three-part being. He's a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet we are created in His image. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, our thoughts, feelings, and our emotions. And we have this body that we live in. But we're not to let our body drag us into sinful desires. We need to be led by the Spirit. When we become born-again Christians, do you know that Jesus doesn't live in your heart? Wait, that might be shocking to you. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. But he did send the Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit lives inside of our hearts. And when we listen to that Holy Spirit, that still small voice within us, we will make good choices and we will be led by the Spirit of God. So Paul says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now look at verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You see this conflict that goes on inside of us? We have our flesh pulling us to do the things we desire and our flesh wants to do, which is sin. Then we have the Spirit inside of us pulling us towards the things of God and the things that God wants us to do. See, they're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But notice what he says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now he's going to tell us what the acts of the sinful nature are. Look at verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul gets really graphic here with his list of sins that the sinful nature wants to drag us into. And he's saying, but you can't live like that. And then he gives us what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. How many times have you heard this passage on the fruit of the Spirit? And yet today, we get it in the context that God meant. He's saying you have two warring factions inside of you. The flesh wanting to pull you into the fruit of the flesh, which is drunkenness, sexual immorality, envy, all these things. But if you're led by the Spirit, it's going to produce what God calls the fruit of the Spirit. At my home in Florida, I have some banana trees. And you know, I never walk out in the yard and see my banana trees just going, oh, I wish I could produce a banana. They don't sit there and just really grimace and struggle trying to produce. It just happens naturally. There are certain times of the year that I look out the window and I see all these bananas growing on the trees. They grow because they're on a banana tree. As Christians, we should be producing Christian fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. He says here, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What did we learn today from Galatians, the fifth chapter? The flesh and the Spirit are in constant conflict, and we as Christians need to be walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God and not our fleshly desires. Thanks for joining me today. God bless you, friend. Walk in grace. He loves you with an everlasting love.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He He makes His mercies new every morning.